Spawn scripturing will come from Matthew 5:14 through 16. Matthew 5:14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven.
Morning, church.
Morning.
I'm thankful to be here this morning. This is the first time that I've preached in the AM service, so it's good to have the lights on, per se, outside instead of doing the PM service. But in light of the scripture that was just read to us this morning, it may sound somewhat familiar if you were here last Sunday. I know Mickey had a sermon on this last Sunday morning as well. But we can never get enough of the same scriptures, right? And each time that you hear different scriptures or the same scripture, you may take a little way something different from it each time that you hear it. This morning, I am thankful for your prayers. I know a lot of Christians and fellow brethren have been praying for me throughout my travels here. If you haven't been seeing me here on Wednesday nights, unfortunately, it's the busy season for my job, and a lot of 14, 15-hour days throughout the week has got a little hectic. So not here on Wednesday's night as much, but Sundays here over the past probably 5 to 6 weeks, I've been traveling for work and whatnot. So thankfully, I'm home this week, but unfortunately, within the next 2 hours, I'll be on a plane flying back out for work. So please continue to keep me in your prayers to that regard. When I have been away from here, worshiping at Long Island Church of Christ in New York, as well as the Northside Church of Christ in Hartford, Connecticut, when I'm away from our home. But today, this morning, again, the scriptures that was just read from Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16, you are light of the world, a city that is set on a hill and it cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives lights to all of those that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Living in a dark world, for many people, this world is a dark place. Some people may feel lost. Some may feel hopeless in the world that we're living in today. They need some place to turn for guidance and for hope. Jesus understood that need, so he made provisions to counteract the darkness. He tasked his followers with providing the necessary light for the world. You are the light of the world, as read in Matthew 5:14. To be a light in a world that is so dark, that can be a big challenge. It can be extremely challenging at times, especially when the darkness of the world threatens to overtake us. We're not called to generate our own light, but therefore we're called to reflect the light of Christ. In John chapter 8, verse 12, it reads, "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." I envision Jesus walking in complete darkness. Just imagine out in the woods, walking, just the moonlight, but Jesus walking in just glow or bright light surrounding him. This is how I envision that. The bright light in a world of darkness. If you're walking in the woods and he's just walking there glowing, you would have no choice but your eyes just to be attracted to him and the light that he emits. Jesus not only exposes our sinful nature, but he illuminates a way for us to be saved from the darkness and our sins. Light implies good, knowledge, alertness, and awareness. With light, we have clear visibility. When the lights are on or daylight, we can see much clearer. There's easily a lot more clarity than it's when it's dark. Daylight, the sun is out, right? You can see better. You can see the road. You can see deer that may coming across, be flying across the street in front of you. As opposed to when it's night, you may not see the creepy critters or the deer that come across the road until it's too late. The bright sunny days that we experience, it makes us feel good, right? As opposed to living here in the Midwest when you get up and it's just simply overcast skies for the last or for the next 3 months that we'll see during the winter time. But on those bright sunny days, it just feels good. It makes us feel good, especially during the spring and the summer. We want to get outside and enjoy that light, that sunshine, and the way that that sun feels hitting our skin. Darkness, on the other hand, ignorance. Darkness. If you turn out the lights, if you're in the house and it's dark, it's at night, you turn out the lights, what happens? It gets completely black, right? It gets pitch dark and you're just like, wait a minute. You have to freeze for a second to kind of let your eyes kind of reset and focus. It seems to be a lot scarier at night, right? I know little children, when they're going to bed, when they're going to sleep, when they're first sleeping in their own beds, and before you would leave, you turn the lights out and the child is like, no, turn the light back on. Or you may need a night light. I know when I was younger, I needed a night light that my mom would always keep on in the socket and just flip it on. It wouldn't light up or illuminate the entire room, but it just gave me some sense of comfort and protection when I could see that light. But there's not a lot of visibility when it's utter darkness, right? What's hiding in those shadows? What's in that darkness? When you're walking around at night, a lot of the people that may not be practicing complete lawless, following the laws, right? Those people that decide to rob and steal. Thieves typically attack at night. Those that rob and come into people's homes, they typically do it at night. They can hide in that darkness where people's eyes may not be able to see them as clearly. For some, darkness is a deliberate choice. They decide to live there. They know that they're doing wrong, but they prefer to hide from the truth by staying in that darkness. Some have gotten completely comfortable living in the darkness. Their eyes have adjusted to the darkness. Because when you turn out those lights in your house and there's no other light coming in, or you're in a room and you shut those lights off, complete darkness. You have to wait for a second or two in order for your eyes to adjust. If you're at home, you kind of know where that end table is or the suitcase that's lying in the middle of the floor is so that you don't flip over it. But it takes a second for your eyes to kind of start to reset and adjust to the environment that your eyes have just been introduced to. Some people have gotten completely comfortable walking through life in this manner, in complete darkness, with their eyes adjusted to the darkness. Light guides and comforts us. But to some people, they want to stay in the shadows. They want to live in the darkness. 2 Corinthians 4:6 reads, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Spiritually speaking, there is no light in the world apart from Jesus Christ. He shines through everyone and every person who belongs to him. In this manner, the light of Christ illuminates the darkness in every corner of humanity. This light is meant to be visible for everybody to see throughout the world. In verse 14 of our text, Jesus also references to a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. It is not meant to be hidden. A city on a hill is meant to be seen and found even in the darkness of light. In the same manner, the light of Christ is not meant to be hidden on earth. It is meant to shine out brightly from all who belong to him. It is meant to be discovered by those that are still in darkness, those that are lost. So as Christians, we should be a light. We should be a light that is shining bright for those that are in the world that are lost to be able to see that light. We should also be glowing with Christ so that others may be attracted to our light. It is meant to be seen. Jesus adds that Christ's light should not be covered up for the lives of his followers. In Matthew 5:15, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Nights could be very dark during the times of Jesus. Back in the ancient days, they didn't have a lot of the things that we have nowadays, street lamps, electricity, and things like that, and the traffic lamps that help light up the streets at night in the city. The deep darkness of nighttime of the ancient world would have most likely been shocking to us nowadays. On moonless or overcast nights, it would be completely black outside, barely being able to see your footsteps in front of you or your hand in front of your face. Caves and the interiors of some of the homes back in those days, again, without a lack of electricity, no light switches to turn on and off. Large rooms would have been naturally void of any type of light, with the exception of any type of moonlight if they had windows. Light was available in the form of fire. Fire that could be lit in oil lamps that could be placed throughout the house. Houses grew increasingly dark after sunset. So after that sun went down, you just simply had the moonlight. Lamps would be lit and distributed all throughout the house if they had lamps at all. Placement of the lamps was key, but the lamps should also be placed strategically throughout the house and also to be placed on a stand. The optimal spots to be placed throughout the house to provide as much light as possible to fill up the room. This is the point that Jesus comment in this verse. Why would anyone light a lamp in the nighttime and place a basket over it? The light of lamps is meant to be seen in the same way that the light of Christ is meant to be seen in the world. Believers in Jesus are lamps. They are the only source of true spiritual light of Christ in this world. That light is meant to be seen, for Jesus tells his disciples not to hide it or to cover it up. Verse 16 speaks to us on the need for Christians and the goodness to be visible in the world. Doing the good works given by God is how the disciples will need to distribute his light. Failing to do those good works is like putting a cover over the only lamp that is in a dark room. Hiding the lamp makes the light or the lamp useless. Like a flashlight. You're shining a flashlight and you just put your hand over the face of the flashlight and darkness, it just covers it up. That flashlight will be rendered useless because you're blocking or emitting the light. The temptation to hide our light or to put a lamp under a basket can seem intense at times. When you let your light shine, you draw attention to yourself. If you're not naturally used to being comfortable as being a beacon, you may find it takes some time to get used to. You may also find that some people who have grown comfortable to living in that darkness, and they don't appreciate how bright your light is shining. You walk into a dark room with others, and you will go in that room, and all of a sudden you flip on the light switch, and somebody yells out, "Turn out the light." Right? Maybe you're watching a movie, maybe it's your theater room or whatever, but you go in and you flip that light switch, so all of a sudden they've been watching that movie for a couple of hours in complete darkness, their eyes have grown used to it. Then you flip that light switch on and all of a sudden everybody wants the lights back out. People may try to dim your light. You're shining as a Christian, but people may try to dim your light or knock you off of your lampstand. You will need to stand firm against those that try to dim your light. You will need to prepare for those that may throw your past back into your face. Hey, I remember that time we used to run the streets together when we were kids. We used to get into all kind of trouble, throwing rocks, breaking windows, and all of that type stuff. Remember that? I remember when we got arrested for stealing cars back when we were 15 years old. Remember those good old days? You will need to find ways to prevent people from sowing the seed of doubt in your life, right? You need to be able to speak up and to continue to have your light to shine, even those that may want to bring up the past and throw it back into your face. So when you're in the office or you're surrounded by other people and they're telling a bad joke or a nasty joke or something offensive, you need to be able to walk away from situations like that and not be involved in it. You need to be able to have your light to continue to shine, to speak up and do the right thing and to say the right thing. You will need to be able to respond to those that dim your light. Maybe in something in a matter of, I remember those times when we used to run the streets and we got in trouble. But that was in a time when I was in a dark place and I didn't have a relationship with Christ at that time. I was living in darkness. But now that I'm living in the light, and I know that there's a better way, I have Christ in my life and I have found the light. Then possibly you can invite them to services to hear how your light has started to shine so brightly and where your light comes from. And more importantly, who lit the candle to have your light to be able to shine. The best way to prepare for those is to draw closer, to that source of light. And in 1 John chapter 1 verses 5 through 7, when you walk with Christ, you walk in his light. Verse 5, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sins. When others interact with you, they experience the light of Christ. They may not recognize it for what it is when they're engaging with you, but they can sense that something in you that lifts the darkness. The closer that you get to the source of light, the brighter that your own light will shine. So the closer that we get to Christ, the more people will start to see our relationship with Christ and how stronger it has gotten. I had a managers were in a meeting with me earlier this week, actually, and they had started talking about an associate, and one of the managers had mentioned that the associate had some mental stability, some mental health issues, and some of the managers that actually started laughing about it. And I spoke up and said, let's stop right now. This is what we will not do. We will not make fun of anybody else in their illness. We will not sit here and laugh, not in front of me, about somebody else and make fun of them. And complete silence fell over the room and we continued. But being able to speak up or walk away or remove yourself from those types of situations to continue to do things to make sure that your light is shining. We get close to Jesus by following his lead. my foul mouth. Before I got saved, you can talk to any one of my friends. I had a foul mouth back when I was younger. Bad mouth. To the point where once I got saved, my friends could see that change. They could see my light. They deemed me that my nickname from my friends was Trav. T-R-A-V, Trav, short for Travis. So they called me Trav, but after they seen me and my mouth wasn't so bad as it was when we were growing up, and they seen my light and they seen my walk and they seen the light that I was omitting, they labeled me Trav 2.0. So Trav 2.0, and I was like, where did that come from? But they was like, this is the new version of Trav. This is a Christian version of Trav. We can see the walk. We can see the change in you. So I got a kick out of that. But you study Christ's light-giving qualities in the gospel, in God's word, the way that he spoke truth to power and he called out hypocrisy, the way that he drew comfort and strength from his time alone talking to his heavenly Father, the way that he used scriptures to conquer and counter his enemies. In Matthew 5:13, Jesus described his disciples as the salt of the earth. And that's the preceding verse upon tonight's scriptures, or this morning's scriptures, excuse me. And as the light of the world in verse 14. So in verse 13, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled under the foot of men. Salt is meant to be salty and becomes worthless if it loses its quality, as Mick spoke to last Sunday morning. Light is meant to be seen by those that is in darkness. It is no value if it is covered up or if it is hidden. In verse 16 of our text in Matthew chapter 5, it provides a practical application of Jesus' teachings about the light of the world. In verse 16, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Disciples display the light of Jesus by doing good works. Even if acting Christ-like earns persecution from the world, believers are meant to shine their light into a dark world. In Matthew 5:11-12, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they that persecuted the prophets who were before you. Jesus speaks on the meaning of doing good works. An important point that he makes in the Sermon on the Mount involves motivation. In Matthew 6:1, it reads, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Good works done for God's sakes in many ways brings the glory to God. Make sure they ought to be done that they can be seen. The light of Christian goodness is meant to shine out so that God will be glorified. However, in situations here on earth, the world seems to want to praise the actual Christian instead of the source. It's better for the act to be done in secret to avoid arrogance and pride. As read in Matthew 6:2-4, starting in verse 2, therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets, and that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father, who sees in secret, will himself reward you openly. Christ is the only spiritual light in the world, and that truth is distributed through his people. His disciples, which are born again Christians, which are us. We are the light that continues to shine. In closing, the risk of being a light bearer or having your light to shine in the world so bright are real, but so are the rewards. Your light may be the only source of illumination for those that are out there living in darkness. By reflecting Jesus' glory and pointing the way to Him, you have the potential to change somebody's life forever. Maybe you're here today and you're tired of living in darkness. Maybe you need a source of light to bring you out of the darkness. Or as a Christian, maybe your light has grown dimmer over the years. Maybe it just doesn't shine as bright as it used to. So if you're in need of prayer or if you need to come forward, please do so at this time as we stand and sing the chosen song of invitation.